And the weather today, highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It's going to be cloudy and windy with outbreaks of rain.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Hurrah! Welcome back, Gabriella. How are you?
Good, thanks. And Frodo's actually awake today.
Frodo's awake. All is perfect with the universe. Hannah, it's been since last year.
Yeah, it's been a while. A lot's happened.
On the Morning Edition, since obviously connected with Gabriella and so on. So what questions would you like to put to our ace correspondent from the Gibraltar Chronicle? Now, of course, you're into the second and closing half of your degree course in journalism.
Can we not focus on that part? I'm not ready for the real world yet, Alex.
Okay.
I want to stay here more. So, well, I haven't spoken to you since before Christmas and New Year. So did you have a good Christmas and New Year?
Yeah, I did, thanks. How was it for you?
Oh, it was great fun. You know, my brothers were home. So, you know, chance to annoy them. And they annoyed me, obviously, as siblings do.
So the brown boys, quite literally, were joined by their number one sister.
Yes, I'm obviously their favourite sister, especially being the only one.
It's very useful, very positive. Ben, of course, being the senior and firstborn in the Lewis household, clearly the weight of responsibility is great upon your shoulders.
Yes, good member. You've got to be the role model. You've got to be the role model of the house. I don't know if that's the best thing about my household, but yeah.
So when you suffered from the common cold or flu, Ben, what did your parents provide for you? Did they actually give you various sort of cold remedies, or did they just give you
zero
hug?
Sympathy? Well, a stiff upper lip.
And did you use technology at all? Did you watch TV?
Not particularly, no. I think it was just a case of either get on with it, or if it was bad enough, use sort of the medicines on the shelf.
Well, the question that we're raising later on today is technology slowing recovery rates among children in this cold and cough season? Apparently, recent research by Vicks have found that 3/4 of parents rely on television and tablets. That's the technical form of tablet. You don't want to swallow that iPad. It's too big for you. To keep their children entertained while they're unwell, where previous findings show that over 60% of children use video devices before they go to sleep, and that doesn't help. It overstimulates them. Hannah, your parents just say, oh, just give Hannah a computer to play with. She's okay.
Well, my mum definitely wouldn't have said that because my mum isn't very techno savvy, you know, but she's getting better. But in that same way, we were not.
So expecting her to listen to Siren Online and her only daughter on a Thursday morning, it's a ridiculous part. It's not going to start.
Although on a Thursday morning, my mum might have an early at work, so we might be able to forgive her.
You
that
can
she's
actually take it on a portable device. That's a radio play. You can listen to it on mobile phones. You know, it's spreading the word. Gabriella, what about yourself in terms of colds and recovery? Are you given devices or did your parents simply give you a hug?
They did give me a hug, but I don't know, I think I was ill recently, and
it's all right. Whenever people say they were ill recently, we get a little blast of Bronski V, which is a matter of course, you see. I won't go there. Carry on.
I was ill recently, and yeah, the iPad is a big distraction. You know, what else is there to do apart from lie in bed and feel bad?
Well, when you say die in bed, or did you say lie in bed?
Lie in bed. Oh, lie in bed. No. That's a bit melodramatic. It wasn't
I. That's a major scenario here. Psychologist Corinne Sweet, who we'll be speaking to later, suggests that listening to a story, watching a cartoon or film is a good idea, as long as it's something soothing and funny. But you shouldn't let children play video games, watch scary films, or spend hours on screens. That'll keep them overstimulated and their immune system will be in need of greater stimulation. You should limit screens, internet and mobiles. Hannah, does this resonate with you?
Well, when I'm ill, I love just watching Disney marathons, so I think that fits with the relaxing kind of,
yes,
films.
Yes, exactly.
Never need an excuse for
Disney. The notion of doing a kind of, the Saw series, you're not going to see that.
I'm not a horror film person, no.
Ben?
No.
We haven't asked you, Gabriella. What's the weather like in Gibraltar?
Rainy today. I think it's about 15 degrees, but very rainy for the next couple of days, the weekend as well. So not too great. How is, I think over there it's
Well, as we just said, the weather forecast, I realise some people don't listen to the weather forecast, so they just tune out when I sort of say it 5 minutes ago.
Rather drizzly.
I'll do it again, exactly. Okay. 10 degrees centigrade is high, 6 degrees centigrade low, cloudy and windy without breaks of rain. Of course, that's a forecast, so that might be
it's
coming up.
It's been spitting out, to be fair, on the way in.
It's here now, exactly.
It is.
We're calling it as we see it in the city of Lincoln, England, Gabriella.
Yeah.
Last week, of course, Ben was beside himself because we could not connect with you at the top of the hour. I mean, you came in, you said, right, where's Gabriella? No sign at all. Mm-hmm. I had to sort of break the news that Gabriella's editor had kind of, the night before, quite literally, summoned her to do stuff. How did that go, and what exactly were you doing, Gabriella?
It was an ATCOM conference. It was an Association of Trustees and Company Office Managers, and essentially what it was the way forward in finance, moving on. I think they had a lot of tax, so I left for that part. But when I came back, I watched a 45-minute speech on Brexit and how Gibraltar has to move forward in these tough times, and we're basically, the premise of it was we're going to have to just put up with it. Put up, move forward, and try and be as innovative as we can in our financial ways. So.
And strangely enough, I don't recall that actually appearing on the ballot papers. You didn't have a choice between remain or put up with it and make the best of the whole scenario, really. But, you know, there we are. That's the life switch down the street. Ben. Oh, sorry, Gabrielle. I think I faded your microphone there for the moment. What were you saying?
Well, we did vote to remain, so I guess that was the alternative.
Well, then you should join up with Scotland.
Otherwise, you have to put up.
Put up or shut up. That's a different line. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, how's Frodo in his current state? I know at the minute. I know he's awake, but is he happy or?
Oh, he's back asleep again.
Oh, right. Oh, that was short-lived.
Yeah.
I know we try to work on a stimulating telephone call, but sometimes it can't even keep a pug awake, you know, that's the sort of line.
Must have been the Weber point, he must have just gone.
We should have a Stroutline siren, it's 8:09. You can't keep a pug awake with this show. I'll work on it. We'll get Phil Leonis to voice it on Lily Holloman and it'll be fine. What are you doing for the rest of the day, Gabriella?
Well, I'm off to Supreme Court this morning. Quite interesting. There was it's relating to a parole hearing. Back in 2010, Gibraltar had its longest ever criminal trial with three brothers who were convicted of £40 million fraud. They were sentenced to 7 years, but in Gibraltar you only serve a third of your sentence, unlike the UK where you serve half before you're allowed on parole. Due to the old prison's terrible conditions, we don't have that prison anymore. But there's been disputes over parole, and he's been granted parole, much to the dislike of the general community. But yes, we're hoping that what will happen today is that it's formally ratified and he will be allowed on parole, and that's the end of it. That's what I think will be happening today. But a very complex, a lot of difficult court proceedings have been going on about it. And, he's going to be out.
Well, there you have it. You know, a summation in a matter of seconds, which just continued in their own way. Hannah, go for it. Last two questions, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
And will you be joining us again next week?
Yeah, definitely.
That's all right then. We're going to go to Richard Fitzwilliams next, and I haven't got a clue what he's going to speak about, but I suspect possibly Academy Awards will be mentioned somewhere. This was a heaven, or this was a hell. I reach out and take my piece of the cake. We look course, ultimately, Ben, what we really want is for Prince Charles to actually build his entire lecture on climate change and deliver a one-to-one with
Donald Trump.
Exactly. I mean, that would be so much.
Or Brian Cox. I think we could arrange something.
It would work. But to test whether or not it would work, clearly we have to return to our royal commentator and film critic. It's Richard Fitzwilliams.
Yes, and I have to say that a very, very pertinent question. You've had me laughing at the thought. Of course, it's not funny. Indeed, very little that's happening at the moment is actually human.
Oh, come now, Richard. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you.
Well, when you're on a state visit, and I would make one point about this. The Talleyrand, that great diplomatist, perhaps the greatest of all time, said, above all, no enthusiasm. Now, it's one thing the Prime Minister going to the United States to visit the President in his first week. That was understandable, I think, given the circumstances. But it is quite another thing to offer a state visit as opposed to an official visit. Many people will not know the difference. But in fact, only two American presidents, George W. Bush in 2003 after the Iraq War, which was so catastrophic, and President Obama in 2011, who addressed both houses in the historic Westminster Hall, have had a state visit. It's almost unknown. The sensible thing, because obviously we've got Brexit, the trade deal, NATO, the special relationship. We know all this. We know why it's been done. The sensible thing would be to do an official visit and then thereafter possibly consider a state visit at some later date. But the way this has been handled, basically, now it's impossible, obviously, despite the numbers of protesters who, not only online, but in 2003, a few months after the Iraq War, 100,000 turned up in London, but London was put under lockdown and the protesters weren't the story. The facts simply are, if you offer an invitation at this stage and then have to withdraw it, you're not going to get much of a trade deal, and the government obviously won't. But I have explained why. A little reading up of history, Reagan came on a spectacular official visit a couple of years after his presidency, not in the first few months. No date has been fixed. Buckingham Palace have not announced who the state visit is going to be this year. So we will keep following the story, but the Prince of Wales and Donald Trump certainly, in my opinion, would not get on.
Well, Richard, if you don't mind me asking, what do you think the Queen would be thinking at this moment in time? Do you think she would have gone along with the idea that that Trump was coming to visit her, or do you think she would have been against it?
I think that, in fact, the palace, there was a report in the Telegraph, it's an important question, that the palace have asked the government, which Prime Minister did, to make it very clear that the Queen acts on the advice of her ministers. She doesn't have a say in who is chosen, although obviously there would be input. The facts are, this was Theresa May's decision, and she has confirmed that this is the case. Regarding the Queen's personal attitudes, the Queen can cope with anyone. This would be her 110th. Don't forget that she's coped not only with President Mobutu of Zaire, Mugabe of Zimbabwe, Suharto of Indonesia, but also the famous occasion when the Ceausescus came in 1978. Now, they were paranoid of being bugged. And since the palace refused, obviously, to have the rooms redone, they spent much of their time in the garden, and a report, possibly apocryphal, but the Queen apparently was also in the garden and saw them and hid behind a bush because she didn't want to spend more time with them. I mean, this is the monarch who went in 1980 to Morocco on a state visit. This was the ultimate nightmare. King Hassan believed that assassins were out to get him and kept changing his schedule, so the Queen, on one occasion, had to wait for hours whilst he decided what to do, and it was hot and unpleasant. She entertained, as in those days the monarch did, him to dinner on board Britannia. There was a fierce row when he stormed around attacking the ambassador, and the Queen has a way with it, with things. When Hassan was trying to leave Britannia, she arranged for beating retreat to be played. So she couldn't leave, and she knighted the ambassador the next day on Britannia. And the visit, well, Hassan actually behaved when he had to, because all these things with protocol, you go on a state visit to a country, then you have to ask the visitor back. You also give him the Knight Commander of the Order of the Bath. Ceausescu and Mugabe have subsequently lost theirs, but it's the sort of thing that would obviously appeal to Trump. He wants the carriage procession, the guard of honor, the state banquet, the banquet at Guildhall. What happens when he addresses Parliament? Who would attend? Where will it be? Will it be in historic Westminster Hall? Will it be in the Royal Gallery? All of this has yet to be decided, but it's been done so prematurely for reasons that are obvious, because if you leave the EU, you need the special relationship. Look who's got all the cards, I'm afraid.
And Richard, do you think, in essence, do you think this whole state visit is almost a PR stunt for Mr. Trump, or do you feel...
I think he would see it as the ultimate reality show. Remember, you know, he and his family would be, as he sees it, in a carriage procession down the Mall. It's a wonderful picture to beam to, well, not to hundreds of millions. This would be a huge news story. At that time it took place, it would be the number one story. Trump has an ego that's so large that it's impossible. I know no words that can possibly describe it. But the spectacle that we put on for state visits is also something that the world has always envied and been very impressed by. It's precisely that he would love to use to boost himself. The problem is, the reason it's been offered as a state visit, which I think was the mistake, and also, as I say, if you want a trade deal and you offer a state visit and then you are forced for some reason to withdraw that offer, you're not going to get a particularly good one. I mean, Britain, post-EU, did not expect, and remember, all of this is occurring when, well, we haven't left yet. We haven't even begun negotiations. So all of this may drag out for quite a considerable time. In George W. Bush's case, they were discussing mid-2002 was the decision to have a state visit. And it took place in November 2003, and you had 100,000 protesters. But as I say, the protesters were not the story. If it was decided, if opposition to Trump got so enormous that not only would no opposition members of Parliament attend if he addressed Parliament, say, from the Royal Gallery, or possibly, you're going to have 1 million or 2 million people appearing in rallies around the country. If this sort of thing happened, obviously then civil servants on both sides of the Atlantic have to sit down and work out, is it in the interest of the president? And from the British point of view, I mean, there would be input there, but there's no question this whole thing at the moment is absolutely incendiary, and I see it being postponed for quite some time. The mistake was not to make it an official visit. Reagan came over an official visit in 1982, and I mean, he had the famous photo opportunity with the Queen where they rode together. It's that Trump, who has apparently ideas, you know, he tells us who he feels our ambassador ought to be, as you recall.
What's wrong with Nigel Farage? I mean, he could actually flog a few used missiles to, they don't really work that well, but then neither would a used car. But still.
Yes, well, of course, there's always Balmoral, play golf.
Exactly. There's so many areas you can actually have for brand Britain. It takes one back to the days of Henry Tudor, when he also wanted to break with Europe and decided that he could actually sort it out.
He did, exactly.
Not in his lifetime, though. But
it's really interesting that you mention that, because I was intrigued when, with Wolf Hall, it's very, very intriguing. If you remember in A Man for All Seasons, for example, Robert Shaw's Rumbustious Henry, a terrific performance. Henry was considered the most glorious child in Europe initially, because he had so many talents. Why did it get perverted into the monster that he became? And you see him going mad, as it were, in A Man for All Seasons, though, these hints when he starts screaming and losing his temper when he can't get his way. Interesting, Wolf Hall used the tournament accident, which was a fact, as the catalyst for behavior that became completely uncontrollable.
And so it goes. And Phil Leonis will have his predictions ready for us for next week, as far as the Academy Awards are concerned.
Well, I would hope so. So will I. And indeed, I think after the Screen Actors Guild Awards, Best Actor is even closer between Denzel Washington and Casey Affleck, because Washington had a surprise win. I think definitely Viola Davis and Mahershala Ali for the supporting roles. But regarding, well, Natalie Portman, I think, will be beaten by Emma Stone. But regarding the main Best Picture, oh, that's such a battle, and also Best Director, we want this. We don't want to know who's going to win. We know it's likely to be La La Land, but it could be Moonlight. Hidden Figures, which won at the SAGs, I mean, it's only Octavia Spencer on the nomination, so it is not going to win at the Oscars. It's an interesting film. We'll be discussing it shortly.
Are you going train spotting for the views today?
Oh, or? Yes, yes. No, but I mean, I had such a good time. And I mean, I must recommend this movie because anyone who loved the original is going to have a fantastic time. And if you didn't see the original, you'll still thoroughly enjoy this movie. But it's worth seeing both of them because you meet such extraordinary characters. Danny Boyle, a sequel, a word that can be a dirty word in cinema. I mean, this... It sets a challenge after the first, and it turns out to be first-rate, and it's pacey, it's well-scripted, it's entertaining, and it's an opportunity to reacquaint ourselves with Ewan McGregor swiping $16,000 in drug money at the end of the first one. Well, there are responsibilities that come with behaving in that sort of way when you've got Robert Carlyle's Begbie safely in prison, so you'd think... not very safely. He has every intention of getting out of prison, and also he's. What does he do with his family? And what does he likes his son to join him in heists? But perhaps his son has other ideas. Very interesting performance by Ewan Bremner as Spud. He has perhaps hidden depths, but he's got lots of problems when we meet him here with the white stuff. And as for Johnny Lee Williams as Sick Boy, excellent performance there. He's got all sorts of entrepreneurial ideas. Now, what could possibly happen there? Set in Edinburgh, Mark returns. Not a wise thing to do, but he's not had a happy domestic life in Amsterdam, and well, he's divorced, his father's alone, and he links up with Sick Boy, and well, there are lots of ideas of when they apply for a grant for a leisure club. It's set in Edinburgh, of course, and some wonderful visuals of Edinburgh, which I have got to know subsequent to the first film, and it all adds to a terrific movie, which when Begbie starts to realize Mark's around, it's well, it's time to be very
and yet, Richard,
at a distance, great fun.
And yet, in the edition of The Statesman, film critic Deborah Ross, who you may have encountered in certain ways, concludes,
I haven't.
Yeah, where she concludes with, it doesn't appear to have anything to say about aging, politics, drugs, or even friendship, and is instead just obsessively sentimental.
Well, I mean, apart from being the fact that there's nothing wrong with a certain amount of sentiment, obsessive sentiment, which, well, it would be if it was, but the point is, this is a pacey movie. This is a movie where the monologue of the famous Ewan McGregor's Mark's monologue 20 years ago of Choose Life, this is updated. So see the movie, even if it's just for that one scene. It's so clever, it's well chosen, it summarizes the change in 20 years because there have been such vast changes in Britain. But also you've got so much humor in this movie. You've got also characters who... they're very vivid. It's the vividness. Excellent performances by Ewan McGregor, Ewan Bremner, Johnny Lee Miller, and Robert Carlyle's Begbie hasn't changed that much. So don't feel that you're going to be anything other than the edge of your seat. Perhaps there will be scenes which involve lavatories. Who would
and
not?
And dead babies. But still, Renton's love interest in the original reappears for
one
scene.
Yes, that's true. But if you have a love interest in this movie, we meet Veronica, a prostitute from Bulgaria, who's Sick Boy's girlfriend.
But apparently it seemed to have been written so that Kelly MacDonald could appear in the scenes, as it serves no other purpose whatsoever.
And well, I take the point that the women's roles are somewhat
And as for the ending, aside from one character who is awarded a most unlikely rebirth, for the rest it descends into a silly caper with elements from The Shining.
Well, I mean, everyone has their own views, and I can only say that most critics that I did a brief skim of reviews are enthusiastic, because you've got a movie that keeps you very entertained, it's got a good script, and these visuals work. The editing's Pacey and good Danny Boyle is not going to let this opportunity go. And, I mean, one or two critics may not like it. Indeed, a few people may not see the first and enjoy the second. But it is a movie that... one of the things I loved about it is it is so fast-moving, but it doesn't lose sight of its characters. There are certainly moments of sentiment in it, as there should be, when four such friends, I qualify the word friends, get together, a bit too much fighting possibly. We still have in the movies this rather juvenile idea that you hit somebody and they don't leave a mark. This will feature in a review that's coming up about an important film involving Isabel Hooper.
Richard, hold it for the moment there, because I've actually just passed over the review to Hannah. I'm not asking you to read this, Hannah, because obviously there are words there which we couldn't use in broadcast, but that opening paragraph, it's a damning one, isn't it, really?
Yes. There's a few expletives in there.
A few expletives in The Spectator for Lord's sake.
Sort of movie. I mean, expletives in the review, you mean?
Yes, yeah, absolutely, indeed.
Oh, dear, but it's not necessary to do that. If a person can't review a movie without resorting to...
Well, I was shocked at us. I mean, even Ben's sort of shocked at this particular stage and stuff. But, Ben, would you go and see Trainspotting T2?
I've still been meaning to see the first one. I think...
Well, see both of them, but, I mean, if you can only see one, I think the second one, obviously, it's about contemporary Britain.
Do you still think the first one's better just to get the context, though, or...?
I think, I'd see both of them, because that does give you the context. Certainly if you steal money from your mates and then you return, even when you've had all sorts of problems in Amsterdam, you may meet a reception that could perhaps be slightly different and less friendly.
And also, neither Hannah nor Ben, I think, were actually born when Trainspotting emerged.
Not 96, it was.
Yeah. I do accept the fact that, again, women's roles have been better fleshed out here.
Hannah, are you drawn to see Trainspotting 1 or 2 or both?
Well, it sounds intriguing. You have intrigued me, Richard, so I think it will be added to the watch it when
you
I can. Some...
You can't look. At its most basic, you can't miss Ewan McGregor's monologue, because it's such a good summary. Boyle is not going to throw this one away, and he hasn't.
Much as he did with the Olympics.
So do you think, Richard, there's going to be a trilogy on the cards here?
Well, and I wouldn't be at all surprised. In fact, that's what occurred, the thought that occurred to me, is I think it's an excellent point. If you've got a success, and this is success at the box office, I'd also mention, why not? Why not consider it? Because...
whole franchise.
Well, did the ending of the film, the ending of the second film, did it... obviously, you can't reveal much, but did it feel like there was going to be leading on to a trilogy, or do you feel like it's a dead end?
It leaves it open, let's put it like that.
Okay.
And also, I mean, there are areas in these characters' lives that you discover during the film, certainly in one case, in the case of Spud, that you would not have gathered since he's so hooked on drugs in the early part. But this is a movie that delivers, and it had to deliver a lot. Keep the fans happy, keep the reviewers happy. It's done that. I mean, you did pick on a review that hated it, but then...
I like to see my role as providing balance, Richard. That's the key, right?
It's probably the only anti-review. I mean, I haven't checked the Rotten Tomatoes, but I think that's pretty high. I bet it's about 80% or something like that. But you therefore could take one view. It's...
Maybe she was just in a bad mood at the time.
I think she didn't like it, and I accept the fact that parts of it are sentimental, but then you're drawn to characters when there's sentiment, and that there is a certain amount. They go and visit a certain grave, and that brings memories back, and Edinburgh, of course, it's a very good Kipps, which meant much more to me. But see the monologue, must see that. And also, I mean, it moves fast, it's entertaining, and it's also very colourful, good colour.
And do the actors mumble, Richard? Do they mumble?
That is what you don't get. Now, you've started the...
I know, I just... We have to steer away from that because of the...
Tony Erdman.
Yeah, because of the huge amount of time we spent on the state visit, Trump and Brexit, it means there's only one time for just... That's it. It's time, Hannah, for you to ask those last two questions to Richard.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I would have enjoyed it enormously, but now Tony Erdman's been removed from the schedules. How can I? I'm weeping. It's so funny. I want to talk about it.
Actually, Richard, what are you doing at around about 9:40 this morning, in about an hour and 5 minutes from now?
Actually, could you make it 9:30? Because television is coming to me to talk about Trump.
Right. Wow, I'm sure you're going to have a superb time of that, Richard.
I will be here, and I want to talk about Tony Erdman. Could you make it 9:30?
Because William Sitwell is unavailable this morning. We're going to actually have a second bonus dollop of Richard Fitzwilliams coming in.
Any more films you'd like to discuss?
I'm just wanting to discuss in some detail. You don't get many German comedies that are funny, but also you don't get...
Warum nicht? Warum nicht?
Very funny.
We will hear from Richard in another 55 minutes, Hannah. So you can hold the questions until then.
The Indians send signals from the rocks above the pass. The cowboys take position in the bushes and the grass. The score is with the corporal, she is tied against a tree. She doesn't mind the language, it's the beating she don't need. She lets loose all the horses when the corporal is asleep. And he wakes to find the fire's dead and arrows in his axe. And Davy Crockett rides around and says it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats. The Sweeney's doing 90 cause they've got nowhere to go. They get a gang of villains in a shed up at Heathrow. They're counting out the fivers when the handcuffs lock again. In and out of Wandsworth with the numbers on their names. It's funny how the missus always looks a bleeding sane. And meanwhile at the station there's a couple of likely lads who swear like as your father and they're very cool for cats, they're cool for cats. He's never on a run. I said I'll see you later and I'll give her some old chat. But it's not like they on the TV when it's cool for cats, it's cool for cats.
Hero cat, most caring cat, forever friends, outstanding rescue cat, and Purina Better Together. Five categories that are going to be coming up in the National Cat Awards as we continue our annual search for Britain's most perfect pussy. Let's move on to actually talk about this with two fantastic individuals. First of all, celebrity cat lover and scriptwriter, author, critic and broadcaster extraordinaire Andrew Collins. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, and I don't just love celebrity cats.
No, of course not. Exactly. Precisely. It's very vital. This is why you're one of Empire's best ever editors, you see, and that's the critical side of things back in the last century. Of course, these days, doing much more exciting things. Peter Hepburn, of course, also chief executive of the Cats Protection area. Peter, good morning to you as well.
Morning, Alex.
Okay, Peter, let's come to you first in terms of this, because every year I find this just sensational. And this year you've just gone a stage further with five top, or shall we say, oddest named cats. And there is one of these, I must admit, well, actually any of them, if you sort of found yourself uttering them in public, saying, come here, Captain Sisko, you might think, have I just gone on to Deep Space Nine? Have I gone into a Star Trek scenario? What sort of led you to actually go, let's go for quirky named cats this time?
Well, sometimes they just shout out to you that you've got to pay attention to them. And yeah, Captain Sisko came in last year as one of the entries to the National Cat Awards, along with Shadow Kevin was one, and Del Boy Rooney was another. Mm. So yeah, these are lovely names, and people give their... You can imagine at 10 o'clock at night standing in the garden calling for your cat.
Well, saying Sky Bizzle for Shizzle Bear is one of those areas where surely that has got to be, you know, the movie that needs to be made, you know, and clearly have a full soundtrack which will be featured on Classic FM. Andrew, returning to your good self, calling a cat Spanker, I don't know. I just don't know where you go with respect to that. I mean, and again, Captain Sisko, why not Jadzia Dax?
Well, do you know what? As long as there are two syllables, or you can reduce the name to two syllables, that's the number of syllables you should be shouting out in a nice cat-friendly voice, you see, when you're on the back step. So it's the two-syllable thing that matters. So even if it is a name with five syllables in, as long as you can reduce it to two for those purposes, you're going to be fine.
Do you know, I'm sure I used to hear a similar thing for radio presenters as well, that they had to have two syllables just for jingle ease. But never mind, yeah, maybe it's a different setup for this. On a serious note, Peter, I mean, this is obviously a chance of celebrating the title National Cat of the Year. And last year's winner, of course, Tink, took home the prize after waking her owners to raise the alarm after as a fire engulfed the family home. So, I mean, there's lots of... In an era where we seem to be having lots of negative news stories coming across for us, I mean, this really looks as though it's a feel-good celebration of our feline friends.
Absolutely. And we have something over 1,000 entries of wonderful cats every year, which tells you not just the few winners, but also right across the country, fabulous stories, fabulous owners who take the trouble to submit an entry. It's very easy to put an entry in. You go onto our website, which is cats.org.uk. The entries open tomorrow and they run until the end of March. And you just put your story in and it'll be judged by celebrity judges like Andrew.
Andrew, you've already mentioned two syllables. I mean, presumably that's for those, etc. Are there anything else, or is there anything else that you're looking for that you think, actually, yes, I'd quite like to have that particular thing? Or is it a case of, no, all cats are welcome?
No, all cats are welcome. I judged for the first time last year and was thrilled to be asked to do so. And you basically look at films of cats. This is the one award ceremony where the winners of the awards can't come to the awards. It's not practical to have cats come to an awards at the Savoy in London. So it's just films. But I can tell you, sitting there at that lunch, all of us, hard-hearted cat lovers, watching films of cats and hearing their stories told by their owners and seeing the cats, there was not a dry eye in the house. It's a really emotional but totally uplifting award ceremony. So many award ceremonies are kind of just about glitz and glamour, and this is actually about real things that touch you right there. It's a superb event.
I'm presuming that in terms of the winning cats, of course, you get the... I'm sorry, I couldn't be there to join you tonight, but this is a video that we've provided. It's there every
Sunday. That's literally what happened.
Peter, back to Cats Protection. I mean, clearly you do some excellent work with the charity in any case from that point of view. As the UK's leading feline welfare charity, are we getting better in Britain? I mean, every so often you hear on a slightly more challenging note that, you know, cats are abandoned and they're sort of, you know, left to go almost feral in many ways. I mean, are we caring for our cats more positively?
Well, I think you have to see both sides of this coin, because on the one hand, yeah, it's very sad. Some cats are abused, some cats are treated cruelly, some are abandoned. And responsible owners sometimes can't look after their cats, so they bring them to us, and we always do the best we can to help. But equally, for every cat that comes in, we will find a home, we will find a loving home, and there are fabulous people out there, wonderful people who, you know, give us money and give us cat food and support the charity and help with these rescue cats. So yeah, there's a lot of good in the world as well as the challenges.
From one of our international correspondents, film director Phil Learness, he always claims that his cat chose him. It's a cat that he named Fuzz Aldrin, and has his own Twitter account and all from that point of view. But Andrew, when a cat like Tink, for instance, last year wins the award, do they get their own social media? Is it a case of, you know, the life is never going to be the same again? It's like winning that Academy Award or the BAFTA.
Well, social media, obviously, because the cats can't be there, there is an immediate amount of social media activity
once the
owner gets home. And, why not create a Twitter account for your cat if it wins an award? I mean, Tink genuinely did a thing which only dogs used to do in adventure films, which was to go basically into a burning house to get the family out. Mm. And you know, almost died, but actually was revived by a fireman. It's a story that would make a movie. So there should be a film of Tink.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would definitely work for that. And a reminder, Peter, once again, the best website to go if you're thinking of entering your cat in terms of this grand event, it is?
It is cats.org.uk, and then you'll find the National Cat Awards on that website.
Just finally, Peter, any sort of particular species that you like? I mean, are you more Siamese? Are you tabby? Are you kind of traditional?
I mean, within the cat species, basically there are a huge number of crossbreeds, and they tend to all be very healthy and loving and wonderful. So, yeah, I'll go for any cat. They all touch your heart.
Well, I'm sure the Egyptians would be proud back in the day that several thousand years later we're still celebrating cats in
very
full
true.
Force. Great stuff. Andrew Collins and Peter Hepburn, many thanks indeed, gentlemen. We will speak again soon, hopefully.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Two syllables. That's Ollie and oboe, isn't it, Ian?
That's correct.
So, did that resonate with yourself? And would you be entering Ollie and Oboe into the National Cat Awards?
I don't think so. I haven't been well behaved at all recently.
Oh, well, maybe they're just frustrated that they haven't sort of been entered into the Cat Awards.
Well, I told them, I warned them. Don't pay any attention to me.
You said it once and you say it again. Earlier in the production, I predicted the words, concentrate on the league, might well emerge. In some way, shape, or form. Ben, congratulations on having such a top loanee from Chelsea who could actually power the ball into the net there. Just as Lincoln City were perhaps losing all hope, you managed to not only successfully almost knock out your goalkeeper, but then go on to obviously score.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you for that introduction. I was absolutely loving it.
But proving that there's no moratorium on own goals.
It did save me £15 though going to the game, so I'll take that any day.
You were here doing duties at the University of Lincoln,
home
of Siren FM, amongst other things. And it was nice to see, and of course, that proof that own goals can also be popped in. Last night, I believe, a connection with Brighton managed to prevent Newcastle from going top of the league.
Yes, Kazengla Walawa, who formerly used to play for Newcastle, funnily enough.
Who's that?
Kazengla Walawa.
Oh, yes. He came on.
Yes.
And, sounds like a character from Harry Potter, doesn't it, really? Kazengla Walawa.
Perch played as well. He was an excellent Newcastle.
Yeah.
I'm obviously quite pleased, and my heart gave a little yelp of joy when I heard the news that Bravo was not going to be in goal, which meant we could keep a clean sheet.
I don't think it was going to be a tough job last night, judging by that game. It was horrendous, absolutely horrendous.
But as Hull City demonstrated, you can certainly actually ensure that scores are developed and so on. But anyway, Hannah's back with us, Ian, so we don't want to sort of spend too much time on association football, unless, of course, you want to take it down that line. Hannah's more of a Quidditch girl, to be fair.
More Quidditch, but I'm learning more about football in the last week. Well, even today I had the explanation of why football clubs loan players to each other. So I now understand that one. Gradually getting there.
Exactly.
Week by week.
Yeah.
It's like a mini tutorial I'm giving Hannah.
Step by step, you know.
The offside rule is the next one.
Oh dear.
No, you need to start easy on that thing. Anyway, Ian, what sort of events are you getting up to at present? And Ollie and Oboe, you've already said they're not well behaved, but you know,
I've got five lodges coming on Sunday, so I'm trying to get the house
in the
fixed.
One room. Is it going to be in the one room or just a case?
No. These are single rooms.
It's the Lennox Mansion that we actually have. It's amazing he doesn't actually get the butler to answer the telephone these days, but still, life continues.
Did you make my breakfast?
Exactly. And are we all set for the speakerphone connection, or would you be saying, no, we're going to do something?
Oh, yes, the music's coming, is this right?
Well,
I'm ready.
It is. Well, unless you want to sort of talk more about the glorious success that City had in beating, obviously, Crystal Palace 3-0 and beating West Ham 4-0. I mean, I ease back on that, but, you know, because after all, we are still just fifth in the league. So,
are you? Yeah, all right. I know. So you're out of Europe then? At the moment.
At present. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everything will work out in its own good way. Last night, Hannah, what did you make of Camo's selection, which we're about to have a little reprise?
I enjoyed it. Very country. Mm. And, you know, it was nice to listen to. It had a good tune.
It's Stephanie Quayle, who likes shooting, apparently.
Yes, that's we found out that they both like shooting.
They both like shooting, Camo and Stephanie. So it's
just shooting a gun.
Yes, exactly. Which is just as well they're in Nashville.
Living the American dream. Exactly. Living the American dream.
Precisely. So it's called Drinking with Dolly, and clearly there are references to the great partner that's actually in here. It's 3:18. Ian, are you ready?
I am.
Sometimes I think I was born too late, came into the world in the wrong decade. I swear if I could, I'd go back to the good old days.
Buy me a 69 Cadillac, a Coke in a bottle and a new eight-track, and sing every word of Harper Valley PTA. Oh, if I could hit rewind, I'd go drinking with Dolly after the Opry, pour one for Tammy too, and put on my rhinestones, paint up my nails, kick up my dancing shoes. Hey there, Loretta, put a quarter in the jukebox, we'll sing along with you, and talk about men, 'cause that's what women do. Share a few secrets and a cigarette, say a few things that we might regret, tell like it is three chords and the cold hard truth. I bet they'd have a little advice to share, how to tame my man and tack up my hair. She might as well look good while you're out paying your dues. Oh, if I could turn back time, I'd go drinking with Dolly after the Opry, pour one for Tammy too, put on my rhinestones, paint up my nails, kick up my dancing shoes. Hey there, Loretta, put a quarter in the jukebox, we'll sing along with you, and talk about men, 'cause that's what women do. Oh, I bet we'd have a real good time drinking with Dolly after the Opry, pour one for Tammy too, and put on my rhinestones, paint up my nails, kick up my dancing shoes. Hey there, Loretta, put a quarter in the jukebox, we'll sing along with you, we'll raise up a glass, wish Patsy could be here too, to talk about men, 'cause that's what women do.
Wonderful. But that's just one's individual opinion. Ben, what did you make of dancing or even drinking with Dolly?
I thought it was quite sort of Miley Cyrus type in her old days, acoustic, sort of obviously country and western, but that's how she used to sing, and yeah, it kind of reminded me of that. But I didn't mind it. It was all right.
Ian, on speakerphone, what are your thoughts?
It was all right. It was quite cheerful. And I like the instrumental bits. I'm not a great fan of country and western, as you might have gathered. Yes, it was set against the other in the genre. It was perfectly acceptable, and it performed perfectly well.
Nice damning.
It's not my sort of.
Damned with faint praise there, Ian, which is very good. So you wouldn't shoot it. That's the important thing. One of our midweek drivettes 11 hours ago, Tessa Leanne Snart, said on Facebook, "This might sound like a strange request, but anyone in Lincoln, or anyone who knows of someone in Lincoln, who's had to contact the Lincolnshire Fire Department to rescue an animal, or their pet," spelt incorrectly.
What, pet spelled incorrectly?
Oh, no, yeah. "Then please comment below."
Oh, no, it's the wrong there.
Yes, I know.
There.
Still, never mind. After all the comment we did on grammar last night as well, Hannah, you know, the whole sort of line that's actually around, still, never mind. I like
grammar.
It.
Grammar? Just using the wrong words.
Anyway, sure. How can you like a proposal from that? I mean, Claire Margerison, good morning, Claire. She's been liking quite a lot this morning. She liked that. She liked the photographs. She likes all sorts of things.
So too. Happy mood.
Clearly, exactly. Anyway, her sister also likes it. That's Lois Snart. Yeah, that's very good. I like it as well. Very strange. It's the 21st century, and sometimes I wonder whether we've actually just lost our way when it comes to communications. In the second part of the production, Ian, we'll be talking to Dr. Lasana Harris and Public Health England's very own Professor Yvonne Doyle about the way to actually cope with a stroke in terms of the FAST scenario, face, arm, speech and time. Yes. I will also be following through on that question in terms of how do you actually look after your children if they're suffering from flu bugs and so on. What was the line in the Lennox household with your daughters, Ian? Was it a case of you just sort of said, just watch television, pets, you'll be all right? Or did you actually sort of give them Vic or other sort of medication? Or did you just sort of run for the hills?
Oh, no. First of all, my wife was... very diligent and that sort of thing, and we've got the doctor in and things like that.
Oh, very good. Yeah. And that's why the Lennox daughters still have time for their dad even today.
It's great stuff. Did you want to know?
Hannah, any other questions you want to put to Ian Lennox at present?
Well,
No.
No. I was just thinking about cats, and I was like, well, we've covered it. I was going to ask whether, obviously, you said his cat's been misbehaved, and obviously the wards, they wouldn't save him from a fire or anything.
They wouldn't. No. I mean, last year's winner, of course, Tink, actually woke the owners up and rescued the fire. Clearly,
if they were in that situation.
Obviously, you wouldn't want to be here. They'd be out. It's sad, really, in many ways. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe
in the very funny thing, little film things that come on Facebook. And it was a series of cats waking up their owners in the morning because they wanted to be fed, presumably. It was really funny. The variety of means they used.
Exactly. And that's what the world needs more of, more cat videos on Facebook. Because somehow...
YouTube. The one I like, the cat lookalikes. You know when you have a cat lookalike and it looks like a figure?
Somehow I feel as though we're dredging the bottom of content for this particular segment of the production. It's time to actually whiz in John Wenham's event diary, which reminds folk that on Saturday the 11th of February, children aged between 6 and 9 are invited to come along and join Mugglewump the Monkey for a Roald Dahl adventure at the Lincoln Central Library. There'll be two performances. The morning one is from 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon, and the afternoon one is from 2 p.m. through to 3 p.m. Tickets, an astoundingly amazing £1. But booking is essential. So that's the Lincoln Central Library. Your chance, if you are a child between, or know of a child perhaps, between 6 and 9 years, that would be as opposed to months.
That's what's happening, Alex, eh?
Tragically, yes. I mean, yes, never mind, that's part of it. We won't be able to meet Mugglewump the Monkey for a Roald Dahl adventure. And neither, I don't think, will your good self, Hannah. You'll be out of it as well. Probably just, really, in terms of the Mugglewump the Monkey. Are we familiar with Mugglewump the Monkey?
No.
All right.
That's fine. Get a bit confused.
Last two questions for Ian Lennox, please.
Ian, have you enjoyed your telephonic link first this morning?
Yes, I do. Particularly the way that we've avoided the football discussions, really.
Did you say the sensitivity?
Which is
I was
quite welcome, to be honest. It was quite a welcome.
It kind of shows show host sensitivity to the contributors. And
that was very kind of you, Alex.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
The 2 minute gloat on Manchester City, that's quite acceptable in the
series. Exactly. You know, first and second in the league, we've got priorities. We have priorities.
Which league is that, then?
The league that we'll end up in with Man City next year. will you be joining us again next week?
I do hope so. On a happier note, football wise, yes.
Lovely.
It'll all work out splendidly, I'm sure.
You didn't see it. I like the blondes and the reds and the brunettes with the legs. I like them curly, I like them straight.